Hi, I'm Jeff Heisner with the Michigan District, and welcome to the podcast. Today, we're talking with Pastor Trevor Sutton from St. Luke in Hazlett, and we're continuing the discussion on churches not just connecting, but partnering with other churches and ministries to spur on growth in their communities. St. Luke has been one of the leaders in partnerships and has been doing this for a while. Why don't you explain?
Absolutely, yeah. So our congregation, St. Luke, I think it's just kind of in our DNA, and in our blood and in the culture. And really the church, long before I was pastor here, the church formed out of a partnership, you might say, where a church in our circuit, actually an English district church, but they helped kind of plant us. And so they were a partnership that led to the ministry that is St. Luke. And that was, 38 years ago. So our people, our congregation, our community just has a high value in collaborating, breaking down silos, the kingdom of God being bigger than, one building, one congregation. They really do believe in, synod and walking together. And so that's just kind of the air I've been breathing, serving my congregation here for the last 12 years now. And so St. Luke, one of the partnerships we have done that's been really successful was a congregation. It was Christ Lutheran Church, an English district congregation right in downtown Lansing. And they were struggling. It looked like they may or may not, survive into the future. There was a lot of talk about a Rite Aid trying to purchase them and, demolish the church and become a pharmacy, that kind of thing. And we started working together. This was actually Pastor Davis, now President Davis, was kind of leading the charge on that. And it started very casually and informally. Pastors praying together, the pastor of that congregation, praying with the pastors of St. Luke, praying together, talking together, talking about ministry together, talking about the kingdom of God together. And then the churches started partnering more formally, doing maybe some preaching swaps for Lent and Advent. We would help at their community kitchen that they had, things like that. Leaders coming together and all that. Eventually, that partnership turned into what does it look like for us to not just partner on activities, but actually become one congregation. And that happened, I believe, about 7 years ago, where that informal partnership turned into a very formal partnership, a marriage of sorts. Yeah. So now St. Luke for the past 7 years is one church, but two locations, two campuses. And the ministry's been extremely blessed through that collaborating together.
That's such a great story. And it's just a great example of how working together.
The coolest thing is this. When we were talking about all this and realizing a church might go away and Rite Aid was looking to purchase the church and all that, Rite Aid is now, I think, bankrupt and closing.
Yeah.
And I'm not celebrating that, but I am celebrating the great reversal in the kingdom of God that a church was going to close and it was going to become a Rite Aid. And now the church is still there, stronger than it had been before. And we're looking across the street to a foreclosure sign at the Rite Aid. So it's a curious thing how that collaboration did a big 180.
Talk about some of the challenges that were involved, even in something that was and turns out to be so successful.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge I perceived was there was no playbook for it. It wasn't, here's the 10 steps to doing this. It was do a step and then make the next step and then make the next step kind of, as you go. Mm-hmm. So I think there was that, kind of the expression of off the map. We were thoroughly kind of off the map in this collaborating. And I know other churches have done this before, but it's not so common that, you couldn't, mm-hmm. You couldn't find a website that said, 10 easy steps to two churches coming together into one. So I think the newness of it, it was kind of an opaque, where do you go, that kind of thing. I think also just a lot of leaders having to walk by faith. And this idea of, you know, one of the questions we were asking is like, what if this goes poorly? What if we get a year into this and we find out it's not working well? And we had to think about that and talk about what does a plan look like for that? You know, things like that. So the uncertainty was another challenge. And then I think what's amazing too is it has been such a great blessing. It has worked so well, but we're amazed that we're 7 years into this and we're still learning about each other's cultures and campuses. And, you know, the majority of my ministry has been this, and there's still this sense in which we're learning what it's like to have two congregations still coming together, even though we are one constitution, one budget, one staff. But it's like I tell couples getting married, you know, like two become one, and that's instantaneous and for the rest of your marriage. And that's kind of what we're dealing with is it has happened and it forever is happening where we are becoming one
as sure.
two locations.
And by you guys kind of being leaders in this, partnering with other churches, you now have other churches coming to you, like Grace and Leslie has now come to you. Talk a little bit about what's happening there.
Yeah. So about a year ago, a congregation in our circuit, very, very, very different, extremely different from Christ Lutheran Church. You know, Christ Lutheran was an urban city center, multi-ethnic congregation. Grace and the town of Leslie, it's kind of rural, kind of between Lansing and Jackson. You know, so it was a very different congregation, or is a very different congregation. But about a year ago or so, maybe a little longer than that, they reached out to us and said, "Hey, we're in a situation where we're trying to figure out what our next chapter looks like and what the future of our congregation looks like." And they were dealing with, you know, kind of a contracting membership and some financial questions and all that. Initially, the conversation was, would you do the same thing that you did with this one church? Would you do it with us? And talking to my leadership, talking to their leadership and so forth, it became apparent that playbook wasn't going to be the best playbook for this. But we did continue to partnership and collaborate together. And ultimately what that looks like is we call it a hybrid shared ministry. And what we do is we provide sermons for them. And it alternates between a video sermon 1 week and an in-person preacher the next week. And so it'll go video sermon, in-person preacher, video sermon, in-person preacher. They do the Lord's Supper when there's an in-person preacher. And then there's no Lord's Supper when there's a video sermon, obviously. The video sermons are the sermons that I'm preparing for St. Luke. So I get to share that sermon with them. But the sermons are specially made for them, you could say, that I record it. And I'll begin by saying, you know, good morning, friends at Grace. It's a joy to bring God's word to you. So it's very personal and for them, even though it's a word that's also prepared, you know, for my congregation. And so we're partnering with them to make sure that they have word and sacrament ministry that's happening. So our staff kind of coordinates the preaching schedule, coordinates getting the different pastors and all of that. They have a lay liturgist when they do the video sermons, and then a pastoral liturgist when it's an in-person pastor. We also support them with Bible study materials and our small group materials. We share that with them. And so it's a really neat collaboration. By God's grace, they thought they were closing, 14, 15 months ago, thinking, we think we're done. And, 15 months later, they're still doors open, doing word and sacrament ministry. And our thought is, as long as the doors are open and word and sacrament ministry is happening, the Holy Spirit is still able to breathe a breath of life into that place and proclaim the gospel. And we're there for that, you know?
That's cool. Yeah. One of the things, as we've done a few of these podcasts on partnerships and talking to different churches, one of those things that seems to be coming out is it's hard for some churches to ask for help.
Oh, yeah, I think the asking for help thing is absolutely right. And it does take a degree of humility, if you will, or whatever. But, you know, like we, in another form of partnership, we've asked for help from other churches. Mm-hmm. We do a marriage retreat with a partnership with another church in our circuit. And what we found is this is, you know, we're a medium to large congregation, but you do a marriage retreat and you say, okay, folks, here's the date. Here's the location. Here's when it's happening, where it's happening, all those different things. And the 80 people that were initially interested turns into 15 or 20, you know, folks. And we just found that it was hard to do a solvent budget and really make a marriage retreat happen effectively by ourselves. And so we partnered with another church and said, hey, we're having a hard time getting this off the ground. But we think if we do it together, it'd be more feasible. And so we've done that for a while now with a church in our circuit, and it's been way more effective. And I guess my point is, it's not asking for help and collaborating is not a sign of weakness or we can't do it on our own. It's really the humility of we were never meant to be islands unto ourselves. We are a synod walking together, and it's not an aberration from of who we are, but exactly who we're supposed to be.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about this earlier. Not all partnerships are the same, and yeah. You've been involved in some wildly different ones, right? So, but when we look at the sacrifices that both sides have to make, whether you know it's you coming to the other church about the marriage retreat or whatever it may be. Talk about some of those sacrifices that might need to be made on both sides.
Yeah, I think the sacrifices are, in a lot of ways, it's relationships. Mm-hmm. And a partnership is not unlike a relationship with other people. And I guess the point being, when you partner with another congregation or when you have a relationship with another person, any healthy relationship, yeah, it's a give and take, right? And every healthy relationship is speaking and listening. Any healthy relationship involves asking, hey, what do you think? Or tell me about your background, your history, you know, that sort of thing. Any healthy relationship involves each person having different talents coming to the table. And so I guess my point is the sacrifices are akin to the sacrifices you experience in a relationship. And I think the point would be like, as I think about my marriage, like, yeah, there's sacrifices involved, but those are net gain for what you get in that marriage and in that relationship. And so I think my encouragement to congregations would be, yes, there's sacrifices. Those sacrifices are shared by both parties. But ultimately, my experience has always been, whatever sacrifices you make in that partnership, you are blessed abundantly in response to it. And, you know, I think we found that with every partnership we've done. Yes, it takes a little more time. Yes, you have to yield a little bit of here's how we always do it. Here's how you do it. Okay, let's find a synthesis of that. Yes, there's the sacrifice of uncertainty and stepping into an adventure, you know, all that. But man, every one of those sacrifices have been way outweighed by what we've learned, by what we've gained, by how we've seen the Holy Spirit, you know, three steps ahead of us in the whole thing. So it's just, I've never experienced it where the sacrifices are not worth the adventure.
That's cool. I got to imagine having church leaders where you're at saying, yeah, let's go for it. Let's do this. Has to be a huge blessing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the reason kind of the trepidation can be all the ways it can go wrong. but at the same time, I like to, this might just be my personality, but it's sort of like, let's imagine all the ways it might go right too, you know?
Yeah.
And the cost of not doing anything is as much or greater than the cost of us trying it and it not going well. I guess my point being, you know, when we collaborated with Grace doing the hybrid shared ministry, doing nothing meant they're going to probably close their doors. And trying this and finding out that it failed, well, that gets you the same spot, right? and we tried it and it's still going strong. And there's been all these baptisms in between. And so to me, it's just, yes, you can think of all the ways it might fail, but it's also kind of being clear on if we don't do anything, it's going to fail too. So let's partner together and try something.
So looking ahead, when we talk about partnerships, you guys are doing an awesome job in this regard. What would you like to see happen within our district, and how can we move that ball forward?
Yeah, one of the things I'm excited about from the district, Todd Jones is working with me on a kind of like, how do we replicate some of the partnerships we've done, especially in the area of multi-ethnic ministry and raising up multi-ethnic leaders and especially kind of newcomers, refugee immigrant leaders in the church. And I love, my hope is that we when partnerships succeed, you can't copy and paste and just do it everywhere because it's all different.
Right.
But at the same time, when partnerships succeed, it is very fruitful for someone to come over your shoulder and say, hey, how'd you do that? And how can I do that where I'm at? And that's where I get excited, is just the idea. And I'm so thankful for the district as a, kind of collaborator on this thing of, I think one of the best things the district can be doing is being a storehouse of ideas and resources for, if you want to replicate this, here's at least someone who might be a few steps ahead of you, or maybe made some more mistakes that they can show you where the potholes are, you know, that kind of thing. And so I'm excited to see the district tangibly working on the idea of how might congregations work with immigrant communities, how might immigrant communities raise up leaders to then partner with existing congregations, and how might we take one model and multiply that.
It's not going to be, these are the 10 must steps that you have to do, because
yep.
It's going to be all different, isn't it?
I've given up on that a long time ago. The best I can tell you is here's what worked in our situation. Here's the potholes we found that we weren't aware of. Here's the things I've sort of learned along the way, and here's my encouragement for you. But yeah, whatever it is, it's not do these 10 things and it will work, you know?
Yeah. And being able and willing, like you do, to connect with people and to share some of these experiences is awesome. So if you want to go ahead and tell people how they might be able to get in touch with you and share more and maybe throw some ideas at you, that would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So St. Luke's website is pretty easy. It's knowingjesus.org. And you'd be able to learn a little bit about the ministry of St. Luke and the two campuses and so forth. But then my contact information would be there as well. And yeah, I'm always excited to receive any questions folks have, or, hey, can you share this with me? And I'm my big thought is in the kingdom of God, it's all public domain stuff. So, if anyone wants to have any of the documents that we used for the hybrid shared ministry, how we do that sort of thing, I'm all about kingdom of God, public domain. Let's share it and be blessed by each other.
Well, Pastor, we thank you so much. Check the show notes. We'll have all that information in there, including details on connecting with you, as well as our district facilitators who they can share much more on this topic as well. So thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a joy chatting with you.
Yeah, always a pleasure. And thank you, the listener, for making this podcast part of your day. God bless.